Sorry, I'm late. We're learning we're in the subject of Big Day Shabbos, Shabbos clothing. It's a big Indian. I'm not finished. We need a few more weeks. Tonight we're going to enter a little bit into the world of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman Bresler, Rabbi Nosson. The Zohar Kodesh says the following. When it happens that other nations come and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then, then Hashem's name ascends and is glorified above and below. As it happened when Yisro had worshipped every Avodah Zarah, every idol had served all different gods, when he converted, when he came to the truth, and he said, now I know that Hashem is great, that when that happened, that Hashem's name was glorified in the world. The covet of Hashem was revealed in the world. The further away somebody is, the further away the individual was, and then returns, the greater the covet, the greater the glory and the honor of Hashem that's revealed. That's what it says in the Zohar Kodesh. So in the Kutam Aran, the first chalik in Yudalad, Rabbi Nachman says, Nimsa Zehu Kvaidai. So Rabbi Nachman writes, this is the covet of Hashem. This is the splendor and the glory of Hashem. Kshabnei Adam Shehem Michutz L'Kedusha. When people who are outside the realm of holiness, you and I have met people like this that you never ever would have dreamt that it would be possible that they would be in the world of Kiddush, in the world of holiness. We had a bar mitzvah recently from our chera, from the shul, a family that came from Russia years ago, and I was thinking the whole time if anybody would have said to either of this couple, to the husband, the wife, you would have told them 25 years ago in Moscow that 25 years from now you're going to be celebrating a bar mitzvah with a son, with children, or b'nei Torah. You would have thought, you're absolutely crazy. They would have been very upset that even mentioning such a thing or even conceiving of such an idea. Rabbi Nachman says, when you have Jews, when you have people who are outside the walls of holiness, and they're drawn near, and they come into the world of holiness, whether they're non-Jews who convert, such as in the case of Yisro, if there were Jews who became fablonjid, who were lost, shagam heim hayu mibachutz, that they also came from outside. And you bring this individual inside, you bring him into the world of Kedusha, zehu kevaydai, this is what the Zohar means, of kidei nestalik v'syakke shema dekutche brich. That Hashem's name is glorified. This is the greatest covet for Hashem, the greatest honor that one can give to Hashem is to return from a distance, to come home, to come back. In that Torah, Rabbi Nachman explains really a very remarkable thing. If we had time, we would talk more about this particular Nakuda of about how is it possible? How is it possible for you or I to bring people home? What do we do? And he doesn't talk there about going on a campaign. You all know that certainly when it comes to non-Jews, it's not the way of the Torah to proselytize, to seek out, to go looking, to try to bring anyone back, or to bring anybody into our world. It's not the way of Yiddishkeit. And even when it comes to bringing back Jews, most of us are limited in what we can do and how we can do it. Rabbi Nachum there speaks about the effectiveness of you or I sitting in our home and learning Torah, of a Jew, even in the loneliness of his own little world, trying to understand a pasuk, understand the Mishnah. Because Rabbi Nachum says that when you make zivugim, this is an amazing thing, when you make shidduchim between letters in the Aleph Beis, what does that mean? It means you're trying to understand Rashi, you're trying to understand the pasuk, and you know how it is, that it seems that there are two words, two sentences, two concepts that don't belong with each other. It's not a shidduch. And whenever you and I are learning, we're making shidduchim, right? Whenever we're learning, we're making shidduchim. You're making a shidduch between this word and the other word, between this concept and the other concept. All of learning is a continuous process of zivugim, of shidduchim, of matching together ideas, concepts. And when you do that, Rabbi Nachman said, you may lead them nishmais geirim. You are bringing souls back together. You are bringing souls into the world. U'ma'irim risha Yisrael, and you awaken the hearts of Jews who have abandoned Yiddishkeit to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he speaks there about the zivugim, the shidduchim that one can make on all levels and give birth to new neshamas. When you have a new concept of learning, a new awareness of Hashem in your own world, in your own life, how it's possible that by doing that, some Jew, someplace in the world, some heart that was far away from Yiddishkeit is ignited, or even a non-Jew, who didn't have a shaykhis, didn't have any connection except maybe originally he was Jewish, but the neshama was lost for centuries. But by you making shidduchim and zivugim, and you're learning Torah, and bringing letters of the Torah one towards the other, you give birth to the souls of Geirim, and you open up the world of Kedusha to the outside. That's what he talks about in that Torah. What we're going to focus on now is one nakuda there, in his teaching, Rabbi Nachman's teaching, where he speaks about the difficulties that a person has even after he's returned to Kedusha. And I'm sure that many of you will be able to identify this, because it's not just talking about somebody who had nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. Listen carefully. Even after the return, even after coming back, the individual is still far from holiness. And because of that, there can be many minias, many obstructions, many complications. And it requires great effort, and this could be terribly frustrating for the Baal Teshuva or for the Ger. It takes great effort, it takes time to remove the filthy clothing that they were wearing. K'may Shekosu, as it says in Novi, and we just read this Shabbos Chanukah, the Novi Zecharia, Hasiru HaBegodim HaTzoin, remove your soiled garments. So Rabbi Nachman says, Ki elu habagodim hatzoim heim mayni mayisam alachs al kadosh baruch hu. The soiled garments, the dirty clothing, are preventing the person from fully returning. even after having come home, even after having discovered the truth, and feeling that this is right, this is where I belong. I want to be a Jew that observes Torah mitzvahs, either someone who wasn't Jewish and converts, or a Jew who was away. Even afterwards, Rabbi Nachman says, it's so hard to remove the soiled garments. And these soiled garments interrupt and hold back like a river that flows in between the person and his objective. And the person doesn't know, how do I get to the other side? This river is between me and my and the place that I'm trying to reach. And Rabbi Nachman says that one has to remove the soiled garments. So everybody here knows what that's talking about, but it's a painful thing to talk about it. A person's past, Rabbi Nachman is talking about, a person's past, meaning his sins, and worse than that, even the impurities that are no fault of his own, that have to do with his parents, or decisions that were made by people before him. You know that a person's affected by the impure thoughts that the parents might have had at the time that he was conceived, if it wasn't in holiness, or if there wasn't the mikveh that was involved in that conception. God forbid. Difficulties in upbringing. It's not any fault of your own. What was I supposed to do? I wasn't here. I didn't make these decisions. The neighborhood that we lived in, the school that my parents chose to send me to, my mazel that this person happened to be in my class, and the influence of this person over me. That television show, that movie, that novel, all part of the upbringing, choices that I didn't make. These are all soiled garments which block a person's entrance into the side of holiness and flow like a river. And you could spend sometimes years and years, sometimes an entire life, looking across, gazing across the river, knowing what's right, but feeling completely incapable of crossing. Therefore, the life of this individual is usually one of constant birurim. Constant birurim, we've spoken about this before. Birurim, which means clarifications, struggles. The challenges of Tov and Rav, good and evil. And these are the words of the illustrious disciple, Rabbi Nelson Breslover. V'zet sarach kol adam leida. And every person must know this. Kishereitzel heskarev l'Hashem esbarach. When one wants to draw near to Hashem. Because all of us are trying to do tshuva. He's not just talking about a convert or someone who never heard about mitzvahs and now is trying to be shomer mitzvahs. So, kol adam leida. Everyone must know. Kishereitzel heskarev l'Hashem esbarach, that when one wants to draw near to Hashem, and he sees that the menias, the obstacles, the veils, are mispashtim, kenegdim ha'id ma'id, are standing in his way, are becoming even greater. The more one wants to draw near, the more you try to get across the river, the wider the river seems to become. And particularly that you feel this when you've started your journey. And the harder you've been trying to be a Jew, the more you see the obstacles that are standing in your way. and the more challenges that are thrown in your direction. And he says, Lefamim, and sometimes happens. Royesh Ahakam Yomim Bishanim Shinid Malay Shakrai Hishil Hitahek Sas. It seems to you, and it's true, that after years, where it already appeared to you that you had to some degree purified yourself, and you're finally getting there, and things that were going well. Chozar v'nofa, you fell back into the same miserable place that you were in. Sometimes you fell into a place that was worse than you had ever been before. V'izgabru lav ha'tayvis v'hirurim b'shtatchus atzum ma'oid, rachmana litzlan. And the taivas, the inappropriate, the terrible desires, the harum thoughts, become worse than ever before. And here you thought that you had already conquered that territory. You had believed that finally, after all the years, that you had overcome those obstacles. And you had reached a certain point of certainty. You had reached a certain place of kedusha. And now, it's worse than it ever was before. And you find yourself in a place, in a way of life, or having done something that you never would have dreamt of before. So naturally, when that happens to a person, the feeling is at that point you just want to throw in the towel, you want to give up. So he says, Tzarech Sheyeda, Rabbi Nosson says you have to know, this is what the Rebbe was talking about, Rabbi Nachum was talking about. Shekol zen nimshach mehabagodim hatzayim. All of this comes from the soiled garments. Shedayin l'nizdakech mehem. You thought that everything was already in the laundry. And you thought that because you were religious for a while that it was going well, that everything had already been completely cleaned and had been washed. Shedayin l'nizdakech mehem, that you still haven't been pure, perfectly refined and cleaned. The garments have not yet been perfectly cleaned. Shemisham kol hamaniyis, and that's where all these obstacles come from. You had not yet completely undressed. You hadn't yet taken off all these garments. If you want to understand this, Rabbi Nosson says, just look how many birurim, how many clarifications, how many obstacles there are until you can get a perfect, beautiful, edible piece of bread. He says, Bir halechem, shuchiyas adam. Bread, which is the staple of a person's life to eat. Shetzvichin levaru v'bir achar bir. It has to be purified and cleansed from the time that it's in the field and the different pieces to be peeled and taken off and so on. Da'ayin shemitchil tzvichin lachrish v'lizroa, the plowing and the planting. Big yigidoyla. It's so much work that goes into it, we don't know. Now you just go to the bakery. And then finally until it comes time for the harvest. Until you are able to clean that grain. From all the filth and tevin, psalus and the refuse and the garbage. Until finally that grain is already refined to the point that it's edible. The royal is chayra and it can be sold or eaten. And even then it can't be eaten. It has to be ground. It's made into flour. And then once again cleaned and purified. Rav Nosson says, this is mamish what a Jew goes through in life. Just when you thought you're ready to be sold, and you all of a sudden you find that you're being grinded. You're being put through a grinder. And Nachamal again and again, bira achar bira. And this, Rav Nosson says, perhaps is what Yaakov, you know, every Jew is crying about and was begging Hashem. But Nosni lechem lechel ubeged lilbash. Hashem, give me bread that I could eat and clothing that I could wear. Meaning what? Please, Rabbi Shalom, I can't go on anymore until I finally get a good piece of bread. It's so hard. And I can't go on anymore with my dirty clothing, with my soiled garments. I thought that everything was already clean. So Yaakovinu asks Hashem, Rabbi Shalom, please, benosni lechem lechol, please may I already be at a point where my Yiddishkeit, where it's already edible, where I could already eat the fruits of my labor. V'ubeged lilbeish, under the garments, all the soiled garments of the sins of the past, my parents' sins, my grandparents' sins, that all of that should finally be removed, all the soiled garments, that I should be able to serve you in a simple and sweet and good way. This malach, this work of birurim, of purifying, of clarifying. Of course, we spoke about, these are the 39 malachas in life, the 39 categories of labor, of working. 39 ways of removing the soiled garments. And this is the main source of the pain in the life of a convert, of a Baal Teshuva, of a Jew who's coming back, and each and every one of us is trying to overcome the setbacks of the past, mistakes that we've made and others before us have made. And therefore, b'chol yom, each and every day, as Chazal say, Yitzvah Mezgarbalav, one's evil inclination is overwhelming in ways that he never would have dreamt of. And years and years after he already felt that he was comfortable with his Yiddishkeit, those old thoughts are still haunting him and come back. And then there's something that's called Shabbos. And Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. Shabbos is not a time of birurim, of clarification, of laundering, of cleaning, of purifying, of refining. Shabbos is yispardu kol payalei oven. All that is evil, all that is filthy, all that's dirty, is rejected. The begodim hatsayim, the soiled garments of one's past, do not have an achiza, a hold over a Jew when it comes to Shabbos. Therefore, when a Jew goes to the mikveh, a Jew bathes and prepares for Shabbos, and we spoke about that, and he puts on the big day Shabbos, so that is a bechin, an aspect of what it says in Pasuk. Imrochas Hashem es tzoas benos tzion. Hashem promises that he will wash the filth, he will wash away the filth of the daughters of Tzion, that's us, of his children, who are called benos tzion. That Hashem will wash away the filth of the 6 days of the week. That's the inyan of the mikveh, that's the inyan of the hachanis before Shabbos. To be able to put on the big day Shabbos, the garments that are pure, that are clean, that are Shabbostic, that we've been talking about, white Shabbos clothing. As we spoke about last week, the minig, the ancient minig to wear white clothing on Shabbos. We'll talk more next week why we're not holding by that. But the inyan of the big day Shabbos that are pure, that are clean, as halacha states, that they should be clean garments. And therefore the eating of Shabbos is without birurim. Every Shabbos is an inyan of an osn li lechem lechel abegel lilbaish. That the eating of Shabbos is without being boirer, without clarifying, without trying to pick out the good and to push away the evil or the part of the food that's not good, without all the work of planting and so on that goes into having a piece of bread. The achila of Shabbos is the achila of yoichlo andovim the yizbu, that it's an eating that is without obstacles, without obstructions, without work. All the malachi is finished. You're there, you're across the river. Now you can enjoy. This is the way it's going to be always when Mashiach comes. And it will not be anymore, there will no longer be the need for birurim. Our past will no longer be chasing us, and we'll always be on the right side of the river. And now before Mashiach comes, every Shabbos, when we put on the big day Shabbos, the clean clothing for Shabbos, every Shabbos gives the Jew the strength to be able to get to be able to go back into the darkness of the 6 days of the week, to give him the strength. He has the memory of what it's like to be across the river. He has the cheshek, the desire, from the koyach of Shabbos, where he wore the white garments of clarity. He has now the koyach to make it through another 6 days of birurim of what Hashem wants us to do in this world. And this, Rabbi Yisai, is the ikar menucha of Shabbos. The main rest of Shabbos, the ikar menucha of Shabbos comes from the shvisa, when those thoughts that come to us because of the soiled garments are finally quieted and are at rest, and a Jew is firmly planted for those hours of Shabbos, completely in the world of Kedusha, without the memories, without the books, without the narishka, without the stupid conversations of the 6 days, without the obstacles and obstructions that stand between him and the truth. This is the ikke menucha of Shabbos. That we're not wearing the begodim hatzom, the filthy garments, the soul garments of the past. Ella, instead, we're mislabshin, we're enclothed with begodim nikiyim, with clean garments and white garments of the truth. And this brings us back to Rus, which we spoke about 2 weeks ago, where it says in Rus, V'rachatz v'sach v'samt simleisayach alayach, she was told to wash and to put on her special dress. And we already learned that Chazal say that that's talking about what? Big day Shabbos, to put on your Shabbos clothing. To go to mikveh, to wash, to be cleansed, and to put on the big day Shabbos for some similar sayach alayach. Because Rabbi Nosson says, Rus was a giyaris amitis, is the mother of all converts. What an unbelievable woman. The conversion of Rus is beyond their understanding. And Rabbi Nosson says, could you imagine? We can't even imagine the cover, the great glory of Hashem, when a woman who came from the other side of the universe, not just a couple of steps across the river, but mamish from the other side of the world of the universe, from the world of Moav, which is a cross, which is opposite all holiness, which is anti-holiness. And remember that we learned at the beginning of this talk that the Zohar Kodesh says that when it happens, when a person comes from far away, the further away, the longer the journey, the greater the obstacle. So we learned that the name of Hashem is glorified, is made great. So Rus came from such a distance, and she was misakin tikunim nifloim, awesome and great tikunim, rectifications were made from such a distance, to the point that she was zaycha, that she became worthy, that from her would come David Malkim Mashiach himself. And through this person, Mashiach, all of the soiled garments of the entire universe are going to be burned and destroyed once and for all. And the tikkun will take place, the final tikkun, where all of the begodim hatzoyim, the filthy garments of history, of the past of all mankind, will finally be completely eliminated. Therefore, it's a truly wondrous thing that all of the maisim of Rus take place at the time of the harvest in the field, at the time of the birurim, at the time of the clarifications, when the tevua, as you recall in the story, when the wheat, the grain, is being separated from the chaff. That's when Rus's life begins to unfold, because that's the life of anybody who's coming from far away. And therefore the story unfolds at the time of achil, of eating, at the beginning of the seer of the harvest. And it takes place in the fields. Because we spoke about this last week and 2 weeks ago, this is the Indian of what? Of Ayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, of Yitzchak being out in the fields. And the person who's thrown into this world, and he's the Isha Sadeh, to clarify And they bring back delicious, they bring back delicacies from the fields of this world of uncertainty and of impurity. And to be able to take off their filthy garments and to be clothed in Big Day Shabbos. Therefore, Ruth is amazing. She meets Boaz in the field of clarifications, in this day habirurim, in the field of uncertainty. And she had been very much a part of the world of Esav, of the Ish HaSada. And she was covered from head to toe with the begodim tzayim, with the filthy, impure garments of Esav. And Boaz says to Ruth at the time of the eating, Gaishi halom, draw near. And it says, and she ate and she was satiated. And there was even food that was left over. And Chazal say, that she ate in this world. And she would be satiated in the world to come. In Olam Haba. But your name, Rus, means to fill and to satiate. And the final bira, this is the ultimate, the final clarification is going to be when her own descendant, David Malka Mashiach, Mashiach Sekeinu, is going to lead the Jewish people in the Suda, in the great festive meal of Mashiach. And that her descendant of Amalek is going to lift up the cup and is going to bench Kais Yeshua Esau B'Shem Hashem Ekra. That Tzaddik Dovra Melech, whose entire life was a struggle to remove the filthy garments. And all of Tehillim from beginning to end is the crying of Dovra Melech to be able to finally get to the other side of the river. B'nai's Desha Yarbitzeini, Al Mei Menuchas Yinahaleini, to be at a point of Mei Menuchas, of Shabbos, of the quiet and restful waters of Shabbos. And all of his life, his past was chasing him, and the memories and the thoughts of the world of Moab were continuously behind him, wherever he went. And the unbelievable Yisurim of that man, because his great-great-grandmother Ruth went through unbelievable Yisurim and came from so far away to convert. And even after she came back, how much difficulty she had to go, how many difficulties she went through. Birurim, one after the other, clarifications and refinements. And certainly she thought that she had already reached the other side of the river. And yet her descendant of Amalek goes through again, over and over, one beer after another beer. Obstacles. But this is the greatest covet that is revealed for Hashem. Kedain istalik v'isyake shema dekutcher brichu. Every effort to start again brings great covet to Hashem. And that woman was zayicha that from her would come forth Mashiach Sekeinu. When all of the weekday clothing, all the filthy garments, will be completely, completely removed. And this, of course, is very much connected to the inyan of the Yontiv of Chanukah that we just went through. Dovra HaMelech said, Tavati b'vein mitzula, I'm drowning b'vein mitzula, the Ein Mamed in the filth, Yovan, Greece, I'm drowning in the impurity, in the filth. Hatzileini mitit, the alet bo Hashem, help pull me out from the shmutz that I shouldn't drown. And the tzaddikim taught that this is referring to the inyan of Chanukah, of Yovan, of Greece. Which all of the menias, all obstacles come from that place of the begodim hatzayim, that in this gabrim that overwhelm a person each day, to the point that the person feels even after many years of being a Jew, he or she is still drowning in these old thoughts and can't see any way of getting out of them. And therefore we spoke last week that the nitzach and the victory of Chanukah is the sight of b'chol ha'eis yeh b'gadach levanim, that there'll be a time when your clothing will always be white. V'shemen al roishcha al yechzar, and there will always be beautiful oil, olive oil that anoints, that is poured over your head, which is the oil of Chanukah. The opposite of the begodim atzorim, the opposite of the filthy clothing. And this is the union of the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. Asar B'Tavis means the siege of Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim is unable to become what she can become. That the Beis HaMikdash cannot be built. And the Beis HaMikdash is the main place of covet of Hashem's glory. The Beis HaMikdash is a magnet that draws everybody back to Hashem. It's the place that brings everyone closer, brings everyone, it's the other side of the river. And therefore, all Torah comes from the Beis HaMikdash. Amim Har Yikra, all the nations of the world are attracted to Hashem from that place. All Jews who were led astray over the years are drawn back to Hashem by that place. And that place is held, is under siege. And it's b'matzor matzok, the Yerushalayim is held captive, and we can't return to her. And by being unable to return to Yerushalayim, we're unable to return to our true selves. And those who those neshamas that need to come back can't return. Ki beis yibes tfili yikara l'chol ha'amen. All potential God converts cannot find their way back to Yerushalayim, to Shabbos, to Kedusha, because of the menias of the filthy garments that are standing in the way. And therefore the Svarim say that there's a deep connection, as we know from even from Halacha, between the Talis and the Chanukah candles, the 8 days of Chanukah and the 8 chutim, the 8 strings of the tzitzis, because the Talis means beautiful garments. The talis means purified white garments. The begadim levanim. The talis means clarity. It means finally getting to the other side of the river, the 8 days of Chanukah, the 8 chutim. That's what we spoke about. The tzaddikim who Erev Shabbos would be misatfim, they would become enclosed in the talis. The talis means the clean clothing, the beautiful garments, that's the talis. And therefore on Shabbos Chanukah, we read the Haftarah from Zechariah, with the story of the menorah, the episode of the menorah, the vision of the menorah, is connected there to the story of Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, who was wearing filthy garments. And you all know that Yeshua ben Yitzchak was a Kohen Gadol, was a high priest, during the early years of the second Beis HaMikdash. And he was a complete tzaddik, but his children had intermarried. His children were married to non-Jews. And as a result of that, he could not become the high priest unless his sons divorced their non-Jewish wives. And these sons were in his life, the soiled garments that he couldn't go beyond. He didn't know what to do. He did not know how to bring his children back to him, back to Hashem. And therefore, he was unable to enter into the Holy of Holies as long as these soiled garments of his life remained in that state of impurity. And he was crying to be able to get into the Holy of Holies, to be Kohen Gadol, to get to the side of holiness. And this is the side of Yosef HaTzadik, who was Zoyche B'Shleimus, who became worthy Mamish to remove the filthy clothing. He had to go through the unbelievable test. Could you imagine? Here was a person, Tzadik Yisayid Olam, who all the years was reaching the highest levels of holiness. When he was in jail, could you imagine? We don't understand what kind of holiness he reached. And just when he thought that everything is 100% pure, mamish pure, all of a sudden he's in the house of Potiphera, and he is challenged by the impurity of that woman and the beauty of that woman that was unlike any other beauty that had ever been in the world. Unlike any test that he'd ever confronted. Could you imagine after all the years sitting in that place in jail and reaching the madrigas of a million Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's in the cave? So he finds himself, and according to one view of Chazal, not only did he find himself, but he intended to be alone with her in the house, according to that view in the Gemara. And the Nisayan, the test. And Yosef Tzadik was probably thinking, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe this is happening. I thought I was finished with all of this. Here I had the most beautiful garments that were given to me by my father, the Ksainas Apasim. The Ksainas Apasim, the beautiful garments that I had. And now I find again that I'm stuck in a place of the Begadim Hatzayim. Therefore it's so amazing. Look what happened to Yosef HaTzadik when he was sold into Egypt. V'yaf shitu as Yosef, as kutantai, as Ksainas Apasim, the way that he was sold was that the beautiful garments of his father were taken, were stripped from him. The Yidbluois of the dam, and they were dipped into blood. That means that no matter who you are, even Yosef HaTzadik, and you thought that you're wearing Shabbos clothing and it's going to be forever, you're wearing the Ksainas Apasim, you find that they're dipped once again into the blood. And the blood means, Nachamal, Nachamal, again and again, I have to be put through the grinder. Again, another Nisai, Nacham Nisai, more Biruim, more bleeding, more agony. And Yosef HaTzadik was to discover many years later in Egypt that he still was wearing the Begadim Hatzayim, that the past was catching up. There were still things of the past from places and times that he didn't even know about. And the Begadim Hatzayim is still there. And he's alone in the house with that woman. The Torah tells us that the victory of Yosef HaTzadik was complete. He left his clothing in her hands and he ran away. He left in her hands the Begadim Hatzayim, the soiled garments, and he escaped. And because of that, he gave us the opportunity, we, his descendants, who are called Sheiris Yosef, the remnant of Yosef HaTzadik, he gave us the ability to wear Begadim Nekiyim, to put on Shabbos clothing. And he gave to his brothers, L'kulam Nosim Li'ish Chalifa Yismolas, he gave his brothers clothing to wear, new clothing. U'levinyamin, and to Binyamin he gave Chamesh Chalifas, five changes of clothing, which correspond to the five times that the high priest on Yom Kippur goes into the Holy of Holies. So he gave Binyamin, whose territory is the territory of the Beis HaMikdash of the Kodesh, the Holy of Holies is the territory of Binyamin. Because it means that every Jew has the ability, no matter what he went through during the week, and no matter what how soiled the garments are of his past, that when it comes to Shabbos, a Jew can go lift him into the Holy of Holies in the white garments of the Kohen Gadol. So Yosef HaTzadik gives five changes of clothing to Binyamin, in whose territory the Kodesh Kadosh and the Holy of Holies is going to be. Therefore, all the aliyahs of Yosef HaTzadik, for the revelation of the dreams, the dream of Yikom Alumasi V'gam Nitzav, a dream that when he was a young man, of the stalks of grain in the field. Because all of life means the clarification, the birurim that go into having that piece of bread. All the birurim, and therefore it revolves around the seudas, the meals, and the meal with his brothers. Therefore a Jew does whatever he's able to do, to put on Shabbos clothing when you come to Shabbos, and to have a day, at least a day, of Shvisen, Shvikin, Mesaber, and Dechikin, where all the filth, all the Begadim Hatzayim for that day disappear. And there's at least a day spent in the Big Day Lovin and the white garments of the Kohen Gadol, Lifnai V'Lifnim, in the place of holiness. Therefore, could we imagine the niggun of the Rebbe Meirash that I spoke about last week, the song of the tzaddik when he was changing after the mikveh, and each garment that he put on for Shabbos. Can you imagine how sad it must have been when the tzaddik, he had a special niggun also, Motzei Shabbos after Malav HaMalki, when he would take off the garments of Shabbos. And look at America, how quickly people take off the Shabbos clothing. They're getting itchy the whole Shabbos. That's if you're, at least thank God if it's someone who Baruch Hashem wears Shabbos clothing. And he can't wait to get back into his Vachetika clothing. He can't wait. Shabbos is almost over and I'll finally be able to take a shower and take off this outfit, this Shabbos outfit, and get back into my 6 days of the week, into my clothing, to go out in the town and have, and put on my, it's not nefer that you have to forgive me, but it's good to hear new stories. But it's really better to hear old stories.
This actually was a story that made such an impression upon me. That I had spent a weekend speaking at a Shabbaton somewhere, and it was Sunday morning, and I really had to get going with my family. And as it often happens, and I had something very important I had to take care of, and get one of the children had to be taken to a birthday party. It's an important thing also. And you know, until I was able to get to the front door, and this one, and just that, and can I talk to you about this and about that, and you know, and my wife and the kids are riding the car. It's one of those things. And finally, looked like I was making it for the door. And again, you know, Rabbi. So I'm trying to, you know, make believe maybe it's a different rabbi. But it was me. And I turn around and I say, look, Rabbi, I really have to go. You know, my family is waiting. I really have to go. And I know that's terrible because that happens all the time and people really want to talk about the Yiddishkeit and you know, a person's caught in so many, stuck in so many different things and it's hard. So I had like this look like, please, I beg of you, you know, give me a call or something. So he says, listen, I want to tell you a story. Something, oh no. You know, it's the Maisa. So usually when a person says that, it means my story, right? So he tells me that he's a descendant of a great tzaddik, the Dikla Ruv. So I said, you're from the descendant of the Dikla Ruv. So already now, you know, and I see the family is looking at daddy, and this is a Yid who comes from holy people. So I said, no. So he tells me a Mardika Maisa. I'm sure some of you remember me telling this Maisa. He says that his great-grandfather was the famous Dikla Ruv. You have to know what that was, that world of sons and rabshits, Chamardika Tzadik. He said his grandfather came to America at the beginning of the 20th century. It was very hard to be a Jew in New York at the beginning of the 20th century. Those were heroic people that were Jews, that stayed Jewish then. So he said that his grandfather came with his wife and the little ones that came here, and they were so poor because he insisted on keeping Shabbos. He couldn't hold the job and he was so poor. He said they lived on the Lower East Side. There was some sort of a coal factory, and they lived in the basement of a coal factory. So he says that my grandfather was, and the grandmother were black from head to toe, from the schmutz, from the filth. They were black, mamish, filthy. So he says that one day my grandfather was was walking on the street in a better neighborhood, outside the Lower East Side. And a wealthier area, and he's walking there. He's my grandfather needed to know what time it was, and he saw somebody, and he didn't speak English. He saw someone that looked Jewish, had a tzuris upon him. We could recognize, and he asked him in Yiddish. You know, in those days, almost every Jew knew Yiddish, and he asked him, even though the man clearly was not observant, was not religious, but he asked him, you know, in Yiddish. He asked him the time. And the guy was very frightened. He said, of my grandfather. Because he thought that he was, you know, he looked at him, he looked like he was black from head to toe. And he's talking in Yiddish, you know. He's asking him the time. So he said that the man asked him, grandfather, you know, what is it with you, Ayid? What's the matter with you? How come you look that way? So he said, my grandfather told him, what can I tell you? This is my maisa, you know. He says, maybe it's, look, I just need to know the time. And he said, no, look. He got into a conversation. He was a very, very kind-hearted, non-religious person, but a kind-hearted Jew. And he on the spot, he said, he said to my grandfather, how could you live in such a place of schmutz, of filth? A respectable person, you're obviously a dignified person, a scholar, you live there with your wife and children. On the spot, he wrote out a check. Now you have to understand, he said, this is the beginning of the turn of the for $500. $500, you can't even go to the grocery now for $500. But in those days, you could put on a house, you were able to put down a nice amount for a house. And he said to my Zayda, to my grandfather, I want you to get out of that dungeon. He was a wealthy Jew, a nice, generous person. Get out of that dungeon and get yourself a place on the spot. So he said, my grandfather thanked him profusely, but left and didn't know what to do. Why? He said that in our family, there was a Kabbalah not to accept anything from a person who's Mechal Shabbos, who doesn't keep Shabbos. So he came back to his wife, went back to the dungeon, he came back to my grandmother, goes to this place, and says, look, he showed the check, told over the Hamayis, he said, look, the fact that I have this from my grandfather, great-grandfather, that doesn't mean that I have to torture you and the children, so I'm prepared to take this money, if you and the children, then it should be good, and we'll get a place. But my grandmother, he says, was very God-fearing, and said, no, I'm with you. And we never took a penny from anybody. That's what your grandfather, great-grandfather, your father and your family always did. So I'm not going to, we won't take the money, and Hashem will help. So I don't know, he says, how his grandfather did it, but because the man told him his name and where he lived, he tracked him down, he went to the apartment. He lived in a very, very luxurious apartment. Knocks on the door, still he's all verschwarzt. He's all black. Forget about a new apartment. He doesn't have a new suit. So he comes there and the Yid answers the door. The nice fella answers the door and says, what happened? Rabbi, what happened to you? What are you doing here? So he said, I want to tell you something. You know, you have no idea, he said, how much I love you, and you're such a wonderful person. You really wanted to do a mitzvah. I have to apologize to you, but I didn't know how to tell you at the time, but in our family, we don't take any money from a Jew who's not observant. So he said, what? He said, thank you, and God should bless you with good things. And he says, my grandfather gave him back the check. And he left. After that, what happened was, he said, that, and I'll tell you how he found this out. After that, what happened was that the man came back, the wealthy fellow came back, and he told his wife, can you believe it? You remember I told you that I gave a $500 check to that rabbi, and then look what they. He's crazy. The man's crazy. So the wife said, he's not crazy. She started to cry. And she said, he's not crazy. We're crazy. Do you remember when we came from Poland, when we came to America? And do you remember that we swore to each other that, all right, we have to get started in business. What are we going to do? So we said that for 1 year we'll be Mechal Shabbos. 1 year we won't keep Shabbos to try to get started in business. And you know, it's already 15 years we're in America and we became Chazifreses and Mechalei Shabbos to the point that a kosher Jew wouldn't even touch our money. A kosher Jew won't even touch our money. That's what we became. We're the ones who are filthy. And that Jew is a tzaddik. Him and his wife and the charcoal and the filth, they're the ones that are clean. And she said, listen, I'm not going to live with you another day unless you accept upon yourself that from now on we're going to live Shabbos. And how do we know this ma'aseh? The guy's telling me this ma'aseh. Okay. He was telling over the story of his grandfather once. He knew the name of that. In their family, they knew the name of the... because in the end what happened was that he went back with a $500 check. He found out where my grandfather lived, he said, in the charcoal. He comes over there, knocks on the place, and he says, my grandfather opens the door in the schmutz. And he said, "Ah, my friend, I told you I can't take the check." He said, "No, no, no." He said, after this happened, and you gave me back the check, my wife and I came back to Shabbos. And we're Shem Shabbos Jews now. I wrote you a new check. It's a Shabbos to get check for $500. And he kissed him, and he said, "That's how my grandfather was able to get out of that dungeon." And he told over this mice, and they remembered in the family the name of that wealthy man, but they didn't stay in touch. He said he was a student in Touro College here in Brooklyn, and he told over the story because there was somebody there, a teacher, that had the name that sounded like that name. And the woman said, the professor said, that you should know that wealthy person was my great-grandfather. And that all of the grandchildren are Shem HaShabbos, everyone is Shem HaShabbos. That's the Maisa. Huh? The Gevaldige Maisa. You hear such a thing, what a Jew has to go through. But you understand that tzaddik who was in the filth in the basin but kept Shabbos, his clothing was shining white. And the wife of the wealthy person, everything there was perfectly shiny, white, clean linen. Everything, the clothing were impeccable clothing. They were never living in the world of the Begadim HaTzayim. It has to do with where you are and who you are. Hashem Yisbarach should help us that when we come to Shabbos, that we should be able to leave behind, like Yosef HaTzadik, Vayonis Vayetze, to leave behind the soiled garments of the past, and to be able to put on the white clothing of Shabbos. And you know something? If you're strong and you do it the right way, then maybe it's possible that even during the week, the coming week, the clothing won't get so dirty. It'll be an easier week. It'll be a better week. Yeah?
That's a question from before the beginning when Rabbi Rambam said that people who learn are going to be zocha tipping people back. So I just want to know, let's say a woman, like, how could they do it?
Why? You're learning right now.
So, the woman is also...
Panda, why not? Sure. There are many other ways that a woman can work on that. Certainly, you know that when a kosher Jewish woman is prepared, even when she's working, as we spoke about a little bit, even when she's doing work, that's not in learning. Even the birurim that she makes by taking something from this closet to another closet, from this room to another room, and preparing even in the kitchen for the family, and she does it b'ahava, of course, with the learning and with davening and everything else. She has additional opportunities to make things easier for other people to come back to Hashem. The entire life of a woman, all she ever does is make birurim, is separate the good from the bad. That's all a woman ever does. That's what she's involved in, being mitzad, when she's learning and what she's doing in it with her family and teaching the children right from wrong, Be'ez Hashem. That's all that she's doing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help each and every one of us that we should already be finished. And we should be zeichem et Hashem to be at the Suda of the Levyasin, of Arish Levyasin, and to hear David HaMelech lift up the kais. Yeshua says, so B'Shem Hashem Rekra B'Gula Hashlem V'Hamitis, V'Mehem Yemenu Amen V'Amen.